Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I declare that there is none worthy of worship other than Allah, and that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger of Allah. This declaration of faith is something that all Muslims do. And today we have a lot of people looking at a lot of different religions. So what makes Islam a religion that you would want to look at or want to stay in? I have in front of me a whole lot of books from different beliefs that are probably the most well-known today. Hinduism, Buddhism, Christianity, Mormonism, and there's paganism and there's atheism. Some people don't believe in anything. Some people have invented their own gods. There are different types of pagans in this world. There are pagans that claim that they are monotheists. There are pagans who believe in many gods, pagans who believe in no gods at all. So why would somebody want to look at Islam? Today I would like to introduce you to Islam, and so the topic today is choosing submission. Why would I want to choose to submit to Allah? So an introduction to Islam in a way, but I'd like to show you more who Allah is. I'd like to introduce you to the belief of submitting to the will of God. You see, there are three major topics that we are going to look at in our lives, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim, and that is, why I want to need spirituality, why I want spirituality in my life, which God do I choose, and why would he need me to follow him? So let's have a look at these topics in a way, and let's look at these subjects and see if we can cover them in a short period of time. You see, there are three spiritual motivations in life, or three spiritual motives that people have to choosing religions. And in Islam, we have those three, as well as six pillars of faith and five pillars of worship. So we're going to have a look at the six pillars of faith and the five pillars of worship. And I want to introduce you to Islam, and it's up to you to decide whether you think Islam is worth it or not, if it's worth looking at, worth spending time studying. And I hope that inshallah, we say that inshallah, God willing, that Allah will allow you to see what the beauty of Islam is, why there are over 1 billion people in the world that are following Islam, why there are so many people coming from all these different denominations and all these different religions that you see here before me, these textbooks. Why are they leaving those religions and coming to Islam? Is it for financial gain? No. Is it for political gain? No. Is it for material gains? No. Is it because they want to marry somebody who's a Muslim? No. But we are finding is people are coming to Islam because of the following reasons. So what are people coming to Islam for? Is it because of they are spiritually motivated to do this? That might be the right answer. So let's have a look. What is the spiritual motivation that people have for becoming a Muslim? Why do we need spiritual motivations? Why do we need to be spiritually motivated to do something or change something? You know, my brother, when he walked into the mosque for the first time, he said there was a feeling that came over me. He felt totally different. And from that day, he said, no, this is the religion for me. He didn't have the theology. He didn't have somebody going from the text to him, but he felt a spiritual change with him. Whether that is a good thing or a bad thing, I am not the judge. And Allah can work in any way. I've met other people where I've just walked up to them and they've opened their mouth and said to me, I want to become a Muslim. I haven't even identified myself as a Muslim. I haven't even come near them to say to them, I want to tell you about Islam. And they from their own have just come out and said, listen, I want to become a Muslim. So Allah can call people in all different ways. Sometimes it might be through a feeling. Sometimes it might be through a dream. Sometimes it might be through wise talking or debating. We don't know. But one of the things that we do know is that we are motivated for one reason or the other to change what we were to what we want to be. So maybe we were a Christian before and we were motivated to change to becoming a Muslim maybe through a book or through some teaching. So what is our motivation for change? Basically, I've summed it up in two ways. Our motivation for change should be to fight evil and fight evil temptations, should be the one. And two is to fight evil inclinations. You see, we are inclined to do evil because we learn it from a young age. Very young, we are taught to have freedom of choice and freedom of thinking because this is what has been pushed by popular media. And so what we do today is we have so many options and so many choices available to us. So we seem to go towards evil inclinations and evil temptations. So for us to find a spiritual change or to be motivated on a spiritual change towards Islam, we have to have a desire. And that desire or that motivation within us must be to fight evil and to fight evil inclinations or temptations. These are the reasons why people go through changes in life. Some of the evil temptations in our lives that we can think of, young people at home, what are the temptations that you come across? Just think of a few of the temptations that you are faced on a daily basis. Now, what type of characteristics do these evil temptations bring out of you? What do they make you? What type of person do you become by following these evil temptations? You can look at the temptations that we often see, the most common ones. Selfishness. You know, when your brother and your sister, maybe you've got two brothers or maybe you two sisters at home, and you ask your brother to maybe help you with something, and he doesn't want to help you, he doesn't want to give you something, he's selfish, he holds it back, he doesn't want to share it with you. And your parents say, stop being so selfish, share it with your brother or your sister. Maybe you've been selfish as well as an older brother, and you have an older brother in your home. And so you've been selfish by not wanting to share maybe golf clubs with him. Or maybe he wants the car for the weekend because he wants to move something from one home to the next, and you don't want to help him because you've been selfish. So maybe selfishness is this evil thing that we need to get rid of in our life. And then those are the temptations that come our way. Selfishness, sometimes it can be greed. Maybe we just want more and more and more for ourselves the whole time. Maybe it's ego and arrogance. No ego, I think I know it all. One of the reasons that it took me so long to become a Muslim was because of my ego and arrogance. I was very egotistical, and I thought, well, I'm a person who studied for so long. I'm a person who knows so much about Christianity. I remember when I was still a very young boy, the priest or the pastor in my church, he came up to me and he said, one day you are going to be a great priest, and you're going to be a great pastor. And that arrogance got to me when I was a very young child, and I thought, ah, yes, I'm going to be this guy's going to have all these people listening to what I say, and I'm going to be so arrogant and control everybody. When I got into religion, especially in Christian religion, I had this ego, I had this arrogance around me. And one of the things that I had to learn when I embraced Islam was to get rid of this arrogance and this ego, to realize that I have to almost give up my whole life and have to die to my ego. Now, if you want to see somebody, if they're alive to the ego, see how many times they use the word I in a conversation. How many times do you use the word I in a conversation during the day? And there's something you can do for yourself when you get home, or if you're at home now, with a little pen and paper, write down the big letter I on a piece of paper. And then on the other side of it, write S and N. Because that's what R does. It leads you to sin. And so your ego and your arrogance can sometimes keep you away from doing what is right. Also, there can be hatred and grudges. You know, hatred, when you hate somebody, it's like you're digging a grave for them and you're burying them. And you're hammering on the head. That's what you're pushing them into the ground, making sure they stay there. So don't hold hatred and grudges for your people. And don't be angry and have revenge. You know, sometimes we want to have revenge for people. This is not the characteristic that will bring you closer to Allah. This is not the characteristic that you need that will bring you closer. Jealousy and envy and cowardness, these are the type of things that we need to stay away from, we need to run from. And these are also the reasons why a lot of people want, when we come to Islam, we have to put these things aside. Doesn't mean we're not going to be lazy. Doesn't mean we're not going to be angry. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have love for money. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be angry people. Well, these things are still going to be in our lives, but we take them on a daily basis and we give them to Allah and we say, Allah, I don't want these things to be part of my life anymore. I want to be different. So we have, maybe some of us can live in a country where we are encouraged to be racist. Maybe we live in countries where we're encouraged to have evil desires. You know, some countries, people hate people because they're Muslims. Just because they're Muslims, they hate them. They don't know why they hate Muslims, they just hate Muslims. And so we have these things thrown in our faces and we wonder why, how can people have this racism? How can they have this prejudice? How can there be Islamophobia in the world? Maybe people are self-righteous. They think that they're better than they actually are. And it can even be sexual desires or the opposite sex. You know, these days we have people that their spiritual motivation is to go as far away from the truth as possible. And so what do we need to have? We've seen all the negatives. We've seen all these bad things that we don't want to be. What are the good things that we can replace them for? We need to have love for Allah and to have the strong desire to please Allah. You know, if we have the strong desire to please Allah, we'll find slowly but surely all these things that we thought were so difficult to get rid of will actually be quite easy to get rid of. Now, I remember a man once walking with me on the beach, and I won't tell you what religion he belonged to because that might spoil the story. But he wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't a Muslim. And when we were walking along the beach, he saw these people lying there half naked. You know how the women are in the popular beaches in the world. And there was all these young boys looking at her and whistling and making comments. So he went up to these young boys and he said to them, why do you whistle and why are you looking at that woman like that? Why are you looking at that woman with lust and all this? So these young men started laughing and they were joking because they had their surfboards and they're acting all cool, like they were like so clever and so macho. And this man said, "Why? Why are you looking at this woman?" They said, "Well, can't you see? She's so pretty. She's so good looking." And he said, "No, why are you looking at her? If she was dead and she was lying there dead and her body was a corpse, would you find her attractive?" And all the guys said, "Oh, no, that's gross. That's disgusting. No, never." So what were they attracted to? They were attracted to an illusion. They wasn't really attracted to what they saw there. You see, when that body is separated from the soul, then there's nothing. It's just an empty shell and no one's attracted to that. But we've been told, we've been programmed to believe that that is what we should find attractive. That's what we should be doing. We should be lusting after things around us. But we need to reprogram ourselves and we need to change that. And we need to see when a woman walks by that we lower our gaze, that we have respect, that we start reprogramming ourselves. And if one day we are forced in a situation where we have to give dawah to somebody of the opposite sex, that we can do it without thinking evil thoughts, without having lustful thoughts in our mind. But we still have to make sure that all the time we lower our gaze, not just for ourselves, but also for the respect of that woman and the respect of those people around us. When I get back from the break, inshallah, we are going to talk about the three spiritual motivations and give you some analogies so you understand it. See you in a few seconds. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. We are looking at how you can become a Muslim. Now we've said you can look at all the different religions in the world and what brings people over to Islam. What makes people want to have a look at Islam as the religion that is viable for them? Why would they want to become a Muslim? Remember, Muslim means to submit your will to God. That's all a Muslim is. Someone who says, tired of doing it my way, I want to do it your way. I want to do it the way that Allah wants it, God's way. So we looked before the break that you must have the love for God and you must have a strong desire to worship Him. Now, what does that mean? What is our motive? What is the motive of an individual? What does that mean? What is the motive of an individual who says, I want to have a strong desire to worship God and I want to worship God? What motivates an individual to go to work every day? Why does your parents or why do you go to work every day? Why do you go to a job that you have 5 days a week or maybe even 6 days a week that you go to over and over again? Some countries, they work 7 days a week. They don't even get a day off. But what motivates you to go to a job? You go to the job for one reason, because you love it. You love the work you do. If you're a doctor or a lawyer, maybe you're a secretary, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you work in a retail store, maybe you sell weapons, you're gonna sell guns, sports ones I'm talking about. But you enjoy the work you do, you love the work you do, that's why you go to work. Now, why should you serve God? Why should you love God? Why should you want to please Him? Because you love Him. And that's the same reason you go to work, because you enjoy the work you're in. You shouldn't go to a job that you don't like. Obviously, you should try and find a job that you do like. And it's the same thing with Muslims. We worship Allah because we love Him, because we want our desires to please Him. The second thing is that we should have a strong desire to earn paradise. In other words, one of the reasons that you want to become a Muslim is because you have the strong desire not to go to the other place. You don't want to go to hell, as non-Muslims may understand that better. You see, we want to earn paradise. We want to earn our safety. We want to make sure that we have paradise. We want to ensure that we can be there. So when we go to work, we do the same thing. We desire to earn a salary. You don't go to work and expect to do it for free. You don't go to work 7 days a week or 5 days or 6 days a week and not get paid. You go to work because you want to earn a salary and you want to have the reward of that salary. It is to get a monthly check. You want to get the rewards of a 13th check. You want to get the rewards of medical aid and benefits and all the rest of those things. So the third thing that we need to look at, I'm sure you understand that now. The third thing we have to look at is the fear of God, punishment, and the strong desire to protect oneself against evil. So we want to keep ourselves clear from evil. We want to stay away from the punishment of God, because if we do wrong, we know that we deserve punishment. So why do we go to work? Why do we earn a salary? Because we want to be able to stay away from poverty. We fear that we don't work, and if we fear that if we don't get a salary, that we'll live in a land of poverty. We will have no money in our house, we'll have nowhere to stay, building that we live in will be taken away from us, everything we'll lose. So that's why we go to work every day. We are afraid of being fired, that's why we continuously go to work. We don't just take day after day after day off work. We go to work over and over again because we're afraid of being fired and because we don't want to have poverty. This is the same reason why we become Muslim. We become Muslim because we love Allah. Second, because we want to get our salary, because we want to have our reward of safety and paradise. And third, we do it because we don't want to go to hell. We don't want to be penniless. We don't want to have nothing. We want to be successful. We want to be called to success. So we need to fight these evil inclinations when they come our way so that we can get these three things right in our life. So to become a Muslim, we are continuously fighting. Now the word jihad, sometimes people immediately when they hear the word, they think it's something to do with going into holy wars. And yes, there are some times where that means that. But most of the time we're in a jihad against our own desires. We are fighting against the things in our lives that we are trying to overcome. We are fighting evil inclinations. So when we are fighting against our evil inclinations, we have to do and support what is right, even if it goes against what we want to do. And sometimes it can even be painful. When we do what is right, it can be painful. Imagine you're a young person, and you're used to doing things the way you wanted to do it. Like you see a girl, and you just look at her anytime you want it. Now you've got to fight against that. You've got to purposely train your eyes to look away. So when a young lady walks in, you've got to look down. And when she walks past, you look back up and you walk. Now, what do you want to do? You want to have a look. You want to turn around and have a look what she looks like. You've got to fight that. It might be painful in the beginning. It might not be easy to do it, but you're going to learn. Over time, you're going to learn. And it requires sacrifice. To fight evil inclination requires sacrifice. It means you might have to stay away from certain places that you were used to go to before. Now, I love surfing. I enjoy water sports, surfing. I enjoy horse riding, things like that. And at the beach, you have all these women that are lying there and half naked on the beach. Where must I go now? I find a place that there aren't people like that. What I do is I get a whole lot of Muslim friends together and we take over a beach. And we take over this beach and we're all Muslim there and we all dress the way we're supposed to be and we can enjoy ourselves. You can also find quiet beaches, quiet places to go. There's parks that you can go to that are quiet where you won't be faced with these temptations. You might even hate having to give up some of these things. Maybe in the beginning, you enjoyed PlayStation so much. You played PlayStation, you played computer games, and now it's time for Salah, and you hate having to give up these things. All sin we don't want to give up. There's not one, I don't think there's anyone who honestly says, I want you to give this up, but we realize by giving it up, it is better. You know, inclinations as human beings is to want to sleep long. We don't want to get up early in the morning to make our Salah. We don't want to do the Salah when we want to do it because our inclination is to be lazy. We don't want to do it, but we train ourselves. And we don't say, I hate doing it. We don't say, I don't want to do this. We don't say it's a mission or it's difficult for us. We do it because we suddenly realize this is better for us. It's training. When any of you did natural service, maybe you did military training, maybe you were in the Scouts or the Cubs or Girl Guards or whatever it might have been, and you did these things, and many of the times you didn't want to tie those knots that they showed you how to tie because it was hard and it was difficult, and you hated these knots. You said, I don't want to ever do these knots again. Maybe they showed you how to hoist the flag. You said, oh, I hate flags. I never want to do it again. But once you got it right, what happened? You loved tying the knots. Every time somebody came to your house, you showed them how you could tie special knots. Maybe when you went out on your yacht one day, you were able to hoist the flag for the yacht properly, and you felt so proud because you were able to do it. This is what it means. It means training, and sometimes in the beginning you don't like it, but it's better in the long run. Also, you might find that it goes against your materialistic benefits. In other words, you might not be able to go and buy those things that you're used to buying or having those things that you're used to having. And so you lose out sometimes financially. Now, when I reverted to Islam, I lost a lot of materialistic things. I lost a home, I lost a car, I lost my family, certain members of my family. I lost financial income. And 7 years along, I still haven't benefited from those. Those things haven't increased, and I haven't changed. I'm still struggling. But if I had simply stayed where I was, I would have had all those materialistic gains, but none of those spiritual benefits. So when we look at Islam and we want to find Islam as a viable option against all these other religions that are out there that say, you'll be materialistically well off, Islam is not going to guarantee that. You see, it might be tough. You might not be materialistically well off. But remember that when we have the call to prayer, it says we are called to success. So as Muslim, you can be successful. In fact, you should be successful. But don't expect that now that you become a Muslim, everything is going to be hunky-dory and everything's going to be okay. When you are called to Islam, if you're looking at Islam, you go to Islam because you want to please God. Remember what we spoke about in the beginning, you want to be a better person. So when we look at evil and we fight against evil and we fight against evil inclinations, we have to stop ourselves from doing what is wrong and we have to do what is right. And we cannot condone those things that are wrong, even if it is for a good purpose. You know, sometimes people say, the end justifies the means. You know, even if you think it's for a good purpose, you're going to, you see somebody doing something wrong, and you think, well, I'm not going to say anything to them because then they might not like me as a Muslim, or maybe they might not want to look into Islam. No, you never ever do that. You always tell the truth and you always represent Islam honestly. Maybe if you're a Muslim and you're watching, you say, but this Muslim told me that it's okay to do that. No, he's wrong. He didn't. That's what he told you is wrong. The end never justifies the means. In other words, you can say, well, I can open up a drug den. I can sell drugs because on the wall I've got all Islamic posters. No, you cannot do that. You can say, I want to open up an escort agency where women can and can sell their bodies, but what we'll do is we'll give dawah to them and we'll play Quranic videos. No, you can't do that. The end never justifies the means. You cannot do evil things to try to do something good. So you have to stop yourself from doing what is wrong and you have to do what is right. And you cannot condone or accept practices that are wrong. So another thing you must do is you must not love doing wrong. You must love doing what is right. So if you are doing what is right, that is good. If you're doing what is wrong, that is not good. So you must learn to hate. You must ask Allah to put in you a hate for that thing that you are doing wrong. Maybe it's your pet sin. Maybe it's the thing that you like doing. You know, sometimes I look at people and I have a very overactive imagination. And sometimes I imagine that I see people walking their dogs down the road. But they're not walking their dogs down the road. They're walking their pet sin down the road on a leash. You know these people, high society people, you see them with their poodles and they're all cut and they're all different colors. And they're walking them. Imagine if you'd see people walking their pet sins down the road. They've given up everything and they say they want to live a Muslim life, but yet they're walking down the road with their pet sin. And they feed it and they give it nourishment. You know, the left and the right hand. How often are we feeding the evil? How often are we giving shaitan food and nourishment and doing things wrong with this hand? We must move all the good things over to this hand. This hand, let it do as little as possible. Don't feed shaitan. Feed the good. And so we must start loving doing right and stop doing and forbid what is doing wrong, even if we see it in other people. But now don't be overboard and go scream at everybody every time you see them doing something wrong. Do it kindly and with compassion and do it nicely. So in Islam, we want to go over to the truth and we want to stay away from error and bring material benefits in this life to a minimum. In other words, you don't have to have so much money. You don't have to have all those things. Obviously, if you're blessed with them, that's great. But don't think that you have to rely on these material benefits to have a good life. Things, you don't have to have name brand t-shirts and name brand clothing. And as Muslims, some of us are really spoiled. You know, we want to have all the name brand things. Be happy with what we have. You don't have to always spend twice the amount of money just so that you can have the name brand. We must be grateful for what we have. Use our finances wisely. And in the second part of the series, we're going to be looking at more details. Today we looked at mostly at how to fight evil inclinations. And we're going to continue to look at, if you're looking at Islam and you think, wow, you know, I've looked at all these other religions. I've looked at Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity. I've looked at all these religions and I'm looking at Islam and I really think this is something I'd be interested in. You do not want to miss the next episode because we're going to look even more in depth why Islam is a religion you'd want to look at. Looking forward to seeing you again, inshallah. And from me, Arib Islam, assalamu alaikum.